You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we'll cover a different topic that will help enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
What is up, Blue Collar CEOs? It is Ryan. It's been another awesome week, and I've got another incredible conversation with you. I'm getting ready to introduce you to the owner and strategist at a company called Reflective Marketing. Crystal Hobbs has dedicated her career to helping HVAC and home service businesses get known and grow using the power of social media. Crystal and her team have trained with the top 1% of Facebook advertisers in the world, making her agency one of the most advanced in North America. She's the proud host of a podcast called Beyond the Tools. That's for business owners in the trades. Actively involved in the Canadian Home Builders Association. Yes, she's a Canadian. And she also chairs that particular association's events, committees, serves on the board of director for the past 4 years. In her spare time, she loves practicing Muay Thai and hanging out with her pup buddy. But we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. One of the things I really want to clue you in on is what she says about how most successful companies think about diversifying their marketing efforts. There's a lot of good stuff. Let's get going. Crystal, I am really, really excited that we are able to get you on the show because you are crazy busy and there are many time zones between us. But for those maybe who don't know who you are, what you do, let's just start there. Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, very excited to be here, Ryan. So thank you. My name is Crystal Hobbs. I live in Newfoundland, Canada. It's basically a big, cold, fairly isolated island on the east coast of Canada. And essentially what I do is we help HVAC and home service businesses to grow their leads and sales and appointments with Facebook ads. I also host my own podcast, Beyond the Tools. So it's exciting that I get to be in the guest seat today and have a chat with you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I hope that the guest seat is not uncomfortable. Let me say it that way, because it's totally different being on the other side of the mic.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very comfy so far.
Yay. Okay, so I'm curious because obviously Facebook leads is something a lot of people are interested in, especially like in Facebook groups, like a lot of people are talking about it. And I think there's a lot of like a mixed bag as far as the offerings available, the tactics that are used, why Facebook is a preferred channel for generating leads. So I guess I'm curious for you, given that it's seemingly such a simple idea has such broad sort of understanding and not a lot of shared values. Why do you like Facebook ads for HVAC companies?
That's a great question. I think Facebook ads is something that is perhaps a little underrated. I know a lot of companies in the space are doing PPC, they're doing SEO, they've got Angie's List and Home Advisor and all these channels, which are all fantastic. But what ends up happening is that you're primarily getting people who are in a I need help now situation, which is obviously great if you are doing emergency and you're doing repairs and all those sorts of things. But if you're looking to proactively grow your installs and replacements, Facebook ads is a great way to get in front of homeowners before they're even in that situation and get in front of them before they're looking at your competitors. So it really allows you to be proactive because you're not waiting for homeowners to seek your company out.
So I think that's a really good distinction because I think a lot of contractors focus on the demand side of the equation, right? Somebody having something break, they pick up the phone and they call. And a lot of times no one wants to wake up on a Tuesday morning thinking, I'm going to call an HVAC company today. Like everyone's annoyed, they're pissed off, like all those things. And so the opportunity is very, very narrow. But what you're describing though is more up a funnel. It's about nurturing this sort of awareness for longer so that when something does go wrong or when there is a need or when they have been thinking about maybe it's time to upgrade X, Y, or Z, that that's the first company that comes to mind, and you prevent them from shopping anywhere else. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And absolutely, there's that awareness piece, getting in front of them early. There's nurturing and building those relationships. But I think what a lot of companies don't realize is that you can absolutely generate leads now who have had this in the back of their mind. You know, my system's old. It's hasn't been working the way I really want it to. Yeah, maybe it's not broken down, but this is in the back of my mind. I'm not looking at this point, but if I see a really compelling ad, a really compelling offer show up on my Facebook feed, my Instagram feed, that's the perfect opportunity for me to reach out that I wouldn't have done otherwise.
It sounds like you're describing something that's more thoughtful and more nuanced than somebody just running an ad or a promotion. Like, it seems like what you're describing, though, takes more mindful consideration of the customer journey at each stage before they get to the point of it's been kicking around in the back of their mind. Let me entertain this offer. Does that sound right also?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are people that really fit into different buckets. But certainly there is those longer term goals of, you know, I want to get in front of people. I want to be known in my local area as the heating and cooling company. And there's the piece of being able to drive a volume of leads in the short term. And I don't think a lot of companies realize that that's even possible with social media ads, because they think of it as, you know, people are on Facebook to chat with their friends or watch cat videos or post what they ate for dinner. But because people are spending so much time there, it's really an untapped opportunity for a lot of heating and cooling companies.
What are some of the things that you feel like are common misconceptions or common mental roadblocks that contractors have when you start talking to them about Facebook ad campaigns?
Great question. I'm going to ponder.
It's weird being on the other side of the microphone, isn't it? Because now it's like I get to toss something to you that you're like, ah, crap, I didn't get to prep this. And that's half the fun.
Yeah, no, I think it is fun. I always joke that I'm a bit of a muller. Like, I'm like, I got to turn that question around in my mind and think about what the accurate answer is. So common roadblocks and perhaps misconceptions that a lot of contractors have when it comes to Facebook ads. I think one common misconception is that.
While you're thinking, I'm going to let everyone know, I'm going to make sure we link your podcast in the show notes too. So if anyone is finding this conversation helpful and interesting or entertaining in any way, take a minute. Check out the actual podcast that you put on, and we'll have it all there. So the Beyond the Tools.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah. So in terms of some of the common roadblocks and misconceptions, I think one thing is that we go into social media advertising and we've been trained by that boost post button, right? So we're like, okay, I put up this post about a special I have on cleaning furnaces, I'm going to go ahead and put $5 behind that and see what it does. And that sort of short term, not really strategic, just throwing things at the wall doesn't really work. So I think that's one of the things that I see a lot of, is really focused on taking more of a content first piece of, I have this post, I'm going to put it out there and get it in front of people, which is more directed at getting awareness, getting engagement, but not actually driving a direct result. So it is a total mindset shift to think about Facebook ads as somewhere in between your regular posts that you put up on Facebook and Instagram, whatever, and PPC, that's a lot more straight to the sale sort of scenario. It's borrowing the best parts of both in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah, that's really well said. And it's interesting, even the way you start describing the ads, it makes me think of, we recently had a conversation with Bonnie Clymer, who is with Mr. Cool. When they do Duckless Mini Splits, they've had fantastically viral Facebook and YouTube campaigns. And it was interesting to see her take on the type of creative and copy to make it like disproportionately unfair to get awareness and traction and start creating a lead flow. And obviously they leverage humor as a mechanism a lot. For you, what sort of tactics or approaches do you find successful or effective when you're starting to create the beginning sort of touch for this lead generation that you're building out on Facebook for these companies?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more simple than a lot of contractors or companies necessarily realize it is. There are a few elements that I find really make or break a campaign. And particularly with Facebook and Instagram ads, one of the things is really leveraging what's called Facebook lead ads. They're a very simple way of running a campaign where you don't need to have the most amazing website that's perfectly converting your traffic. You don't need to have a landing page. Everything is built within Facebook. So that works really well for a couple of reasons. One is that it's easy to get up and running, obviously, on the creation side of things. But it's also very easy for your potential customers because they don't have to leave the platform. It's I click on the ad, I get a form right within Facebook and Instagram that I already trust that platform. I'm filling out some basic information, and then someone's going to follow up with me. So it's a very simple mechanism for someone to raise their hand and say, yes, I'm interested. I want somebody to reach out about my installer replacement.
So you referenced something and slid by because I think a lot of contractors don't think about the back end of this particular process. So it doesn't matter if it's a lead ad or you're driving into a page, like a conversion funnel page or whatever it is. You get the customer's information. It's sitting in a giant fancy spreadsheet of some type. Awesome. What is the company's most effective obligation maybe to follow up with these leads quickly? Is that them setting time once a week to go through this list of names it curated and like send them a card in the mail? Is this having a CSR person designated to, like, as these leads come in, filter them out, respond to them, engage? Do you recommend using automated tools, things like Chirp, for instance, to actually, once that data comes in, trigger sequences are initiated and it's hands off for the most part? Until a certain point, like, what do you find as the most effective way to connect the operations piece to the lead generation piece?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, going back to Roblox, that is something where a lot of companies fall down. So most of us have heard the concept of speed to lead. And certainly if you're used to channels like Home Advisor, for example, where it's highly competitive and you've got to get on that potential customer right away. Very, very similar. So you want to make sure that you are calling ideally within the first few minutes that somebody comes through as a lead. Now, of course, that's going to be challenging depending on your human resources and if you're getting leads coming in after hours. So absolutely, that's where technology can really help. So making sure that you have automated texts that go out, automated emails, so that there are multiple touch points with those leads. And then, of course, having someone who owns the follow-up process. So you want to call that lead as soon as they come in, and then you want to continue to call. So for most of our clients, we, in some cases, we are supporting them with that, with our appointment setting team. In other cases, they have their CSRs take care of that. But really calling, we recommend calling twice a day for 7 days or until you get a response, so that you are giving multiple opportunities to get in touch with that person.
That is I really like the idea of like two times a day for 7 days, because I think a lot of people might try once and give up, or they might not try at all. And there's nothing more frustrating as from a marketing standpoint to see a list of names who've just raised their hand. We don't know if they're qualified at this point. We just know that there are people who have raised their hand saying, I'm curious to learn more. And to see those people just kind of die of neglect is really, really frustrating for a marketer to see.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've seen that in your work too, Ryan. And it's easy to say, oh, the leads are terrible quality, but oftentimes the money is in the follow-up, especially with social media advertising, because again, you're getting people who they're not hot leads, right? They are people who are curious and interested, and there's definitely opportunity there. opportunity there, but they need more nurturing than a referral, or more nurturing than somebody who is typing into Google, my AC is broken. This is a potential customer that needs multiple opportunities to get in touch with you through phone, through text, through email. So having that system of following up and doing that consistently and frequently will make a huge difference in terms of your return.
I like the differentiation you just put on kind of where the customer is in their decision process. I often, for instance, refer to like the academic conversion funnel, like the upside down pyramid, where people go in the top, they come out the bottom, and it's only at the bottom, that point of the pyramid, where the conversion, the dollar changes hands. But anything else, your goal is just to get them to the next step in the funnel. Right? It goes from awareness to interest to preference to conversion. And then depending on the model, it goes below that. But the point is when contractors think like Google Local Services or AdWords, they're at the bottom of the funnel. Like they're doing that search, they're doing that action because they have a problem now and they need your help yesterday. So you're not going to need to do a lot of handholding, right? They're already there. It's just making it work. What you're talking about, though, is getting people who aren't quite at the conversion process. They might be interest. They might have preference if the company has a really strong reputation or the offer is especially compelling. And it's still up to the follow-up process to help hold their hand and guide them through the conversion window. So for a company to ask for a dollar to change hands when the customer is still at the interest stage, it's really premature. If they ask for a dollar to change hands when there's a preference stage, it feels a little bit, okay, like presumptuous maybe. It really does take that understanding of the journey the customer is going through and making sure that the company is mindful and prepared to help the customer navigate it down.
Yeah.
That felt really rambly.
No, not at all. I think that is a perfect way to describe it. And yes, absolutely. We're talking about a type of lead that does need more follow-up, more nurturing, more relationship building. But there are ways that even in what you're offering in your ad campaign, you can attract a potential customer that is a little further along. So what we often see is that the right offer or the right incentive can make a big difference in attracting more qualified leads. So for example, we've seen that any sort of financial incentive performs really well in terms of getting a good cost per lead. But if somebody is looking to save money on an install, well, obviously they are considering getting an install. So looking at things like your financing, if there are any government rebates in your area, any opportunities where that homeowner can save money, if you are advertising that, you're much more likely to get people closer to the bottom of that funnel.
Yeah. And probably one of the best ways to think about it is provide the solution that's most helpful at the customer at that stage. So, and just help them kind of drop down to the next part of the pipeline. Facebook ads is like this, it's a massive domain. I don't think most people are aware of one, how big of a product that is within the Facebook and Meta ecosystem. And two, how complicated and how robust the data collection is for Meta. And it's not just Facebook, it's also Google, it's also Amazon, but these companies harvest significant amounts of data. There was a lot of disruption a couple of years ago when Apple changed their security parameters for iOS. It caused a huge disruption for anyone using Facebook ads. And it was for anyone in the marketing and in that lane, it was really stressful for quite a while. What sort of impact, positive, negative, indifferent, did you and your company notice as a result of some of those changes with the updated iOS security measures?
Yeah, it's really interesting because of the work we do specifically in lead generation, and we're a little unique in that most of our clients were using the Facebook lead ads format. So because Facebook owns that, it controls the data that's available. So we didn't actually see that much of a negative impact, but I know for certain clients and certain businesses as a whole that were driving traffic to their website from Facebook and Instagram, that would have had a lot more of a dramatic effect. I would say overall, now, you know, pretty quickly within the first few months and certainly this year and beyond that, it's leveled off. We're not really having the same struggles, or, you know, Facebook has figured some stuff out, marketers have figured some stuff out, but certainly seeing a lot less of an effect by using that lead ad campaign type on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and I've noticed similar, but I think there's also another point, which is for good or for bad, companies that rely on any one marketing channel, be it AdWords or Google Local Services or traditional SEO or Facebook or whatever, if they depend on one, there's a whole lot of risk associated that is outside of their ability to manage. So Google could wake up tomorrow and change algorithms that would decimate your rankings, decimate your lead flow. Facebook could change how their algorithm works, which is going to decimate your targeting. Like, all these things could have really massive consequences. Do you tend to recommend that people diversify a marketing mix? Or do you recommend that they like focus on one as hard as they can, as long as it works, and then only when it fails, move on to the next option? Like, how do you tend to recommend that for people?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think most of our most successful clients are absolutely diversified. So they have, and honestly, most of the clients that we work with, they come to us because they're already doing Google Ads, they're already doing SEO, they're doing their door knocking or more traditional methods and stuff as well, and they are looking to get more volume. They're really looking to scale things up. And on the flip side of that, I think we do see a lot of clients who are smaller and have limited budgets, and they know that social media advertising is a really great cost-effective way to do that. So I think the work that I do is like super specific. I'm a big nerd. I'm in the weeds. We're like doing this one thing and doing it really great. I know certainly companies like yours are looking at more of a holistic strategy and different platforms and all those sorts of things. So, you know, certainly my outlook on things is very focused on my lane, but I would say that a lot of the most successful heating and cooling companies that we work with are absolutely still doing Google. They still have a great website. They're doing email marketing. They're doing more traditional things and looking at leveraging their existing customer base. So all of those things are absolutely important. And you can certainly put all your eggs in one basket, but you don't want to do that for the long term.
I think that's really, really well said. I mean, clearly, to the point you just made, you focus on your lane. You are exceptionally good at what you do, and you're passionate about helping the trades. If somebody wants to learn more about your agency, to connect with you, to see how you might be able to help them, what's the best way for people to contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are super active on social media, Facebook and Instagram in particular. No surprise there. So you can reach out at Reflective Marketing. So facebook.com/reflectivemarketing, at Reflective Marketing on Instagram. I post all our podcast content on there as well. And then the best way is through our website. So reflectivemarketing.com, you'll see a button there where you can book a free strategy call. And that's with me. So we can have a chat about your business and what's going on, or you can just learn more there.
That's awesome. We'll make sure all those are in the show notes, as well as the podcast, which I mentioned earlier, reflectivemarketing.com/podcast. You'll be able to pull up all the other episodes. Seriously, Crystal, it is awesome having you on. Thank you for doing exceptionally good work consistently day in, day out. It was really great having you on. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors, and founder of Levergy, the digital marketing solution for serious home service companies. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another awesome episode. See you soon.